Well, good evening.
Good evening, brother.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord again.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't like it here, then you're in the wrong place. But let me just say this, the Lord surely knows how to keep us busy.
Amen.
I mean, we've been busy as with my family traveling a few weeks ago to Pennsylvania, traveling out. During teen week, we stayed here. We're here every night. And then the Lord allowed us to go to Rochester for the weekend, and jail ministry keeps going, and now we're back at church tonight and preaching. I didn't know I was going to be doing that when I was in the jail. As soon as Pastor called me and said, be ready to preach tonight, I said, all right, well, let me go through my sermons in my head and see what I think I can preach. And the Lord just arrested me.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're not preaching an old message now. I'm like, well, I'm comfortable with some of this, or I'm comfortable with that. I'm going over all these things that I've done and saved those sermons. That's not a bad thing to preach an old message. Okay, God blesses that at times. I'm just saying, God uses that, and I do that. I do use those. Okay, speaking with my wife. Okay, I do use them, but the Lord gave me something I've never preached before.
Amen.
I was driving home from the jail. I mean, he just laid it out as clear as day. I got home. I said, I got to get a quick 15 minutes. Being in that jail, I get beat up spiritually.
Right.
I got to come home and go to bed, Brother Tim. I am just exhausted.
Yeah,
I'm driving home like this, man, after coming. Them devils are all over me.
Amen.
And so as I'm driving, the Lord's giving me the message. I told Amy, please put it on a Word document. I'm going to take a 15-minute nap. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get that message ready. Take a shower and head out to church. And here we are. And I was talking to Brother Gary Hartsock earlier, and I told him, I said, I was born in Vermont. I was born in a town called St. Albans, Vermont. And I think I left there maybe around 3 years. I don't know the timelines of my family. For whatever reason, I cannot ever get straight the timeline and my family. But I remember I was probably about 3 years old when we left there. Well, I have started running out of places to run from the law. So I thought, oh, why not go back to St. Albans, Vermont? Why don't we go back there and see what Vermont has to offer me? It was not a very good thing. Within a year, I was out of that state. They made sure I was out of that state. But it's a beautiful state. It really is a beautiful state, and I loved it. But you know what? Many people traveling around, they take this whole preaching and they take it like they deserve it. Over and over again, I'm watching the compromise of men who say they've been called to handle the Word of God and live a compromise. You know, the thing that something happened, and the Lord showed me and my wife this weekend, that when the man of God does something, his congregation does it as well.
Right.
I've seen it as plain as day this weekend, that when the man of God does something, his congregation feels comfortable doing it. That's an impact. And men today, they're deceitful men. They're not doing it right. They're destroying people. They're watching them die and go to hell, and they're okay with it. Doesn't bother their heart, but yet they say they're called. How can you say you're called and destroy a congregation? Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3. When I start off, you're going to think, well, this message is pretty plain, but I'm just going to tell you, if you'll just be attentive and you'll listen, I think God's got a message for some people in here. Now listen, this is not for me. This is not what I expected to preach. This is not what I would have been comfortable preaching, but God gave this to me and I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
Here's what it says in John chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 16. Should I move that down a little bit? Is there a little feedback? Move that up.
No, look at your stinking chime box.
Oh.
Yeah.
Back up.
Everybody point to my wife. She's guilty.
Okay, she's guilty. So look at John chapter 3, verse 16. We'll start there. We'll read through verse 20. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Brother Eric, could you stand up and pray for this service, please?
I'll be honored. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your presence tonight. God, we thank you for the Holy Ghost, who has been in this place, Lord, every night I've been here and every day I've been here. God, I thank you so much that you've moved amongst these people. God, I pray that you'd do it again. Lord, I pray that you would convict where conviction needs to be brought, and comfort where comfort needs to be brought. God, again, thank you so much for the precious promises in your word.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for providentially preserving this word that we might have it in our language. God, we know men gave their lives for this word, but we also know that the word who became incarnate, who became flesh and dwelt among us, gave his life for us.
Yes.
God, we pray that we might bring glory and honor, praise and worship to your holy name. Lord, be with the preacher as he preaches the word of God. I pray that you would anoint him with a fresh oil. God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way tonight to bring forward your word as you would have it preached. I do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So I just want, right off the bat, I'm just going to veer here for a second. I want you to notice in those four short verses how many times the word believe or believeth is in there. Okay, everybody's out there trying to preach people to trust Jesus for their salvation. And I'm telling you today, God knew that people were not going to be able to trust Jesus Christ, but they needed to learn how to believe him. Let me just say this. A person is born with trust inside of them. They're born and they know how to trust. And that trust gets broken and it gets stomped on and people throw it out the door. But a person is not born with belief inside of them. Belief comes from an outside source. Okay? Somebody had to teach you that sitting in that chair, they had to teach you to believe that you can sit in that chair and it was going to hold you up. Today, people are out there, Dale, would you like to trust Jesus for your salvation? Anybody who ever told me to trust Jesus Christ, they stomped on me. They hurt me. They did everything in their power to hurt me. And now you want me to trust Jesus? No. My friend, it says to believe.
Right.
To believe. That comes from an outside source. What is that outside source? That is the Holy Ghost and the King James Bible. That's going to teach that person how to believe on the salvation. Psalm chapter 78, verse 22 says they believe not in the salvation. They trusted not in his salvation. Therefore, they believe not in him. We're never going to get somebody to trust in Jesus Christ. We got to preach the gospel for them to believe. But look at this. Look what it says here. I just read to you some of the most powerful verses that are regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the devil has desensitized people to the verses in the Word of God. You see, this verse here used to hold some power to it. But see, they started putting it out there in sports. They started putting it out there on TV. They started putting it out there on the side of the road. And now people see it. And the devil has used that to desensitize it. It doesn't mean anything to people anymore. They can look at it and nothing happens.
Right.
There was a time when John 3:16 through verse 16 through 20, when somebody read that, fear and trembling shook through their body. Today, that's not the case. Today, that's not the case. And so, how is that? They like to use it in religion. To say this, Brother Gary, religion couldn't change me. Religion wasn't going to touch me. God had to show me it was going to be by a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By using this verse in the manner that people are using it, it has taken the belief and the fear of God out of people. Let's read this verses again. Look what it says here. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Then why are there lost people sitting in these pews tonight? Is that not what that Bible just said? And he who should believe in him shall not perish. Then why are there lost people in this pew tonight?
Well,
what kind of weight does that verse hold to a lost person sitting in this pew tonight? There used to be a time, Brother Cliff, people would get saved off of that little bit of that verse. You know why they believed it? They believe that what those words that were written on these pages, they meant something, that God had given that to them. But today, I can read those passages today, and it says, whosoever believeth him shall not perish. But yet we still have lost people sitting in this room tonight. Why? Because they don't believe. But they're trying to convince God that they do believe. Belief in your Bible demands an action. Something's going to happen when you believe those words that are written on that book.
Amen, brother.
Go to God and tell him that you don't believe. Because the reality and the fact of the matter is you don't believe. Hey, let me just say something. When I got saved 8.5 years ago, God showed me how to believe on that Bible, how to believe on what Jesus Christ done, and it's changed my life. I am not the same person I used to be.
Amen.
Look at this. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If you're lost in here tonight, the gospel is hid to you. It's not plain to you. It's not prevalent. That's why you can't believe it, because you can't see it. I remember when Mike Falk preached that one time he brought that picture up here, and there was an elephant hidden in there. But you know, you didn't see it right away until he showed you how to look at it. When you looked at it in a certain way, you could finally see it. My friends, you're looking at the wrong thing. That's why you can't get saved. What are you looking at that these pages on this Bible can't save you? What is it?
Right.
Is it God? Oh, well, it must be God. God must have the problem. Look at this. But if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, small g, of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let me say something, my friends, here. There's some hope. Because that next word tells you there's hope. Lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them. How about that there's hope for you?
Amen.
There's hope. Because you know what? The devil's got your mind blinded. Why? Because you believe not. But there's hope. What is that hope? The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should have shined upon them. You know, there was a day when the gospel of Jesus Christ shone upon people and it changed their life. But how come that's not happening today? The same words. The words haven't changed. Am I right, Brother Garrett? It's the same words.
Amen.
Then why does it have effect on the people sitting in these pews tonight? Oh, maybe it's because my Bible's brown. Maybe it's black or large print. Or maybe the words on that page don't mean what you think they mean. You don't believe what they say on that page. Because if you believed it, you would be saved here tonight. Either that or God's a lie.
That's right.
Lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will God save those who believe? That's what it says. It's a promise of God. Is it not? It says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many times have you called upon the name of the Lord? Then why aren't you saved? Look at what it says here. Verse 14 says, how can they call on whom they have not believed? I just showed you how many times in those first four verses where it's talking about believe and believeth, okay? And you have to go in there and dissect that, because there's a time he uses believe, but he also uses believeth. There's a TH on the end of the word believe. You know what that means? It's a continual thing. That's a fascinating thing about a King James Bible, is they got words like that that mean something. And so when you see a TH or an ETH on the end of that word, it means something that continues to happen. A person will believe on the salvation, but they'll continue to believe for their life, for that Christian walk.
Right.
They'll believe unto Jesus Christ for salvation. All call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you? Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? If you're going to say yes, you do believe that verse, then why are you lost in here tonight? You got to come to, you got to get to the end. You got to get to the problem. What is the problem? If you've grown up in church your whole entire life and these words have no meaning to you, what has happened? I'm just telling you, after 8.5 years being saved, traveling around, I watch how the devil has desensitized people to the Word of God. There's probably more people in this room lost who can quote the Word of God and they're still lost. You know why? Because knowing verses and believing them are two different things.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You can know all the verses in the world and be lost. You know why? I knew that. Knowledge puffeth up. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. Knowledge puffeth up. It makes a person think they're something they're not. I thought I was saved. I thought I was saved, and here I am. I'm up on the corner over there, and I'm sitting up there, and I'm drinking a beer, and I'm abusing my family, and I'm smoking cigarettes. And a man named John Ashcroft comes up to my door, and he says, "Hey, I'm the pastor at Black Creek Baptist Church. Hey, I don't know, worry about it. I'm already saved." Did I not tell him that? I don't need the Jesus. I'm all good. I'm already saved. I sat where John Mark is sitting for 4 years while God unraveled that profession. My friends, a profession is not salvation.
Amen.
I just want you to know that. Profession is not salvation. Jesus Christ is. And you know what it took? It took God working with me 4 years sitting in that pew for God to finally show me the outside source through that King James Bible what I needed to see. You know what that was? That I was a rebel against the Holy God. That's what it took for me to get saved. It took for me to finally have my eyes open. You go, man, that was so simple, right? The simplicity that's in Christ. The hard part was getting there. Salvation is the easiest thing that ever happens on the entire planet. It's getting there is the problem. It's allowing God to open your heart, to open your eyes to those things that you don't want to see. That's why Proverbs 20:27 says that the Spirit of God is a candle that lighteth the inward parts of the belly. He's got to light those inward parts, but we like to blow it out. We take that candle and we keep blowing it out because we don't want to see it. Oh, Lord, why won't you save me? I'm being diligent. Let me just say this. His diligence and yours are totally two different things. It's night and day.
Yep.
Psalm 78:41 says, "People have limited the Holy One of Israel." How do they do this? Matthew 13:58. And it says, "And he did not many works because of their unbelief." You're the one stopping God from saving you. It's done. Finished. Over with. Then what is the problem? It's over. It says you're limiting him. Why? With your unbelief. But it's going to get better here in a second. Look at it. It says that we can limit the Holy One of Israel, and because of our unbelief, not many mighty works can be done. So the problem here is that you sitting in the pews is the problem. It's not God, and it's not His Word, but it's you.
That's right.
Look at not only has people no longer believe this Bible, but the fear of God. You tell me today in 2020 that people have a fear of God? I know lost people in this room who walk around like they're okay. Remember that time when we lost that being okay? I say it over and over again because I want you to know, if you're not at the point where you're afraid to be in the vehicle, eat, or anything else because you're afraid to die and go to hell, then you ain't even close to being saved. Because I remember about a year before we got saved, what a fear we would pray. Please don't crash this car. Please, when I'm eating, don't let me choke. I remember those times. But where is the fear of God? Look at this. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is not condemned already. But he that believeth not, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what we call that in prison is you're a dead man walking. You're under condemnation tonight, and you're okay walking around that way. Let me just tell you this. Those people on death row are not okay with the way they're walking around. And here you are facing eternity in hell, and you're okay with your condemnation. But you know what the problem is? You don't even believe you're under condemnation, because if you did, it would change your life. Pastor, if they really believed they were under the condemnation of hell, they wouldn't walk around like they do. Come on, raise your hand and tell me you really believe that you're under condemnation. You go ahead and try to convince me that. You ain't convinced God yet of it. He ain't convinced of it. You lost all fear of that. I thought, man, I'll never be afraid of anything in my entire lifetime. I started hearing about hell. Kind of shook me up a little bit.
Right.
Now, it wasn't hell that got me saved, but I'm telling you what, I didn't want to spend eternity there.
Amen.
Became afraid, didn't you, Amy? My wife used to have nightmares about it. As a lost woman, had nightmares about it. It would keep her up at night. She was afraid to go to sleep at times. Then devils would attack her, man. She'd be getting up in the middle of the night trying to climb walls. She'd get up on top of me and be slap hitting me and stuff. Wake up with big old knives in her hands. My wife used to be tortured like that. How's it going on, man? She don't face that condemnation.
Hey, praise the Lord.
How about that?
Amen.
It ain't a fear to her anymore. Hey, we're all right driving now, huh, babe?
Amen.
We still pray for traveling mercies.
Amen.
But you know what? It's okay. Don't threaten me with heaven.
That's right.
Bro, I'll be in heaven with you. You know, nobody wanted me around for many years. Having this whole everybody want me around thing, I'm starting to like it. I'm starting to like people wanting me to come and preach and come to their house and all that. I told them that the other day. I was in Rochester and I was able to walk through a person's house. And I remember just walking through, going to the bathroom and stopping and going, man, they trust me in their house.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you don't know me. You're supposed to know me. But for that, that was big for me, Pastor.
Amen.
Just to think that people invited me to walk through their house and they were okay. They weren't watching me. They weren't worried a bit about it.
Amen. Hey. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, that's a wonderful thing to have that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? Because I understood that I was a dead man walking. My wife understood she was a dead woman walking. We understood the condemnation that God had set there and said, if you reject me, you will go to hell. I had a guy ask me today, if God is so loving, why does he cast people in hell? I said, he doesn't cast people in hell. They choose to go there because he chose the cross.
Right.
When a person dies and goes to hell, it's because they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected his way. They rejected what he had done for them. He didn't reject them. He could have just shut it all off and been done with it. But no, that's not the case. Could you imagine if you really understood your condemnation? You know, the problem is you don't have the fear of God. Number two, you don't even believe what that Bible says. Oh, I really do believe what that Bible says. Well, I'm going to beg to differ with you because that Bible says you'd be saved then.
That's right.
That's what it says. You can't, listen, well, I got this, but maybe, no. You either believe that Bible, like God says you believe that Bible unto salvation, or you don't believe it. The problem is, you keep trying to shake that thing off, and I'm going to get it this time. I'm going to go, no, listen to me, man. I'm just saying, a bad thought came to my head today as I was driving when I had the picture of the church. And the fear that came over me was God's going to start blowing candles out.
Oh,
he's going to shut that thing off.
Right.
Because people have gotten too comfortable and there's an example that must be made. God will do that.
Oh, brother.
I'm not even kidding you. I was driving home like, please, my goodness. No, but, hey. Listen, I'm not the best preacher. I don't have all the perfect words. But I'm just telling you this right now. You need to get saved. And you need to stop playing the game. You need to stop being comfortable in that thing.
That's
you
right.
Need to start letting God make you uncomfortable in this thing.
Right? Amen.
It's a serious matter. How do you know that when you walk out that door, it's not the last time? I call it playing Russian roulette with your soul. You want to spin that chamber one more time. Spin it one more time. Well, it didn't happen last time Dale said it. It didn't happen last time Dale said it. What if it happens tonight? You ready? You ready? Once you close your eyes and you open them back up, it's a wrap. There is no help. The fear of the Lord has become a cliche. The fear of the Lord has become a cliche. It's become just a comfortable thing people say in church now. They preach the fear of the Lord, but they themselves don't walk in it. I watch pastors, I watch men of God who preach the fear of God, and then I watch the compromise and go, that's not the fear of God. It's not a wonder his congregation doesn't fear.
Yeah.
It's not a wonder why his congregation doesn't have the fear of God. Hey, let me say this. The fear of God is a healthy thing.
Amen. Yeah, it is. Amen.
It's a healthy thing. It's not a bad thing. It keeps you from doing the stupid things that you already do.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing to have the fear of God. It's a wonderful thing that finally, for the first time in my life, I used to tell Amy, I said, you ain't ever getting me to bow down to no God. I'll never get on my knees for no God. Who is this God that tells me I have to do that? How about today? No problem getting on my knees. I can't get up very well, but I'll get down there, okay? Why? Because God has been good to me. Man, he's been so good to me and my family. Look where I'm standing tonight. If I uncovered myself, you would see death, hell, and all kinds of wickedness with my tattoos covered my entire body. I would write vicious songs about, you know, killing Jesus Christ's mom and doing all kinds of vile things to Jesus and all that. And here I am preaching that very word.
Amen.
Amen.
How about that? Hey, you know who most of my best good friends are? Correctional officers and sheriffs.
Praise the Lord.
His dad is one. He's an ex-correction sheriff in Broome County. He's an ex-sergeant of corrections, Pastor Dan Cassiola. Probably one of my best and dearest friends.
Yeah.
How about that, God? Hey, you guys all know the story. My next door neighbor is my ex-correction officer. Legitimately, from me to across the parking lot, lives the man who used to watch me in prison. And I remember the first time he seen me, it looked like he was looking in the headlights. Like a deer looking in the headlights. He's like, uh-oh. And I introduced myself. I said, Sirianni, that's his last name. I said, I'm sure you remember me from when I was in prison. Yeah? I said, I'm different. Okay. That was his response. You know what? How many times you think he's heard that from inmates?
Right.
How many times? I mean, listen, when I go in there preaching to the jail, do you think they really believe that I'm bringing Jesus Christ to those men? Do you really think that they believe that those men can really get saved and have a different life? How many times they have heard that? How many times they've watched men make professions, go through there, look like they live like a Christian, and then get out, and a month or two later, they're right back in there again for doing the same thing they've always done? We've been able to help my friend. And he said, Dale, I've been in corrections for over 25 years. And he says, I've watched countless people say they're Christians and talk about this Jesus. He goes, but you're the first one I've ever seen living.
Amen.
That's from the very man who watched me in prison. It's become the fear of God has become a cliche. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. I'm sorry to say there's people in here who do not believe it. You're under condemnation.
Mom.
You're under that condemnation as we sit here tonight and have become comfortable. Let me ask you this. For those of you who are lost, do you think you really have a fear of God? That's a serious question. Let me ask you this. Do you think that you fear that word condemnation? Do you? Because if you did, it would be life-changing. I'm telling you that right now. Something is wrong. Is there, maybe it's something wrong with God. Maybe that's maybe the problem is with God. Or no, maybe it's just because that word condemnation could be something else in Greek or Hebrew. No, it's a real sentence.
Yeah.
You see, because there's not a judge standing there in front of you right now telling you you're condemned, you think you have more time. You see that when I stood before that judge, I mean, he sentenced me for those 5 years in prison. It was over with. I had nothing. It was over. Some people can put in appeals and so on and so forth. But when God cast that judgment on you, as he did, as he's done tonight, as I just read that to you, that means you're even more. Now you're even more aware of that condemnation.
Right.
There's only one advocate. It's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Will you believe? Teen Week is getting ready to end again. And you're going to walk out of here a lost person again. My poor wife, she is an emotional wreck, continues. Do you know why? Because she has people in this room she loves to deal with.
And
knows they're lost. And it kills them. Because they're not taking it serious. It's just a joke to be under condemnation today. It's not a joke to you, is it, Amy? No, it's not a joke. You know what's not a joke? It's not a joke to God. It's a serious matter. But here, we have John 3:16. You all can quote it. John 3:16, 2 through 20. You all know it. You all know it wonderfully, but not one of you who are lost believe it. The reality is you don't believe it. You're a dead man or a dead woman walking and you're okay with this. If a person really understood the condemnation, it'll be life changing. The Bible said, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. James 2:19. The devils fear God and they tremble because they believe what the Bible has written about them. You don't believe what the Bible has written about you, but the devils do. The devils know and they understand and they believe what has been written about them. And you know what? It sends a fear and a trembling through them. But you know what? They can't change it. You can. You can. You can. But you don't. How much more does God have to try to convince you to believe? What is it going to take? You're not going to get fireworks. Listen, I tell people all the time, it's not an emotional thing. Look at it. You're looking for a degree of conviction. Well, I didn't get convicted enough. I didn't get convicted quite enough. It's not a degree of conviction. It's conviction in general. Just knowing where you stand in God's eye. Where do I stand in God's eyes? Well, we just read this. If you don't believe, you're under the condemnation. And you know what? You don't like the light. Why? You keep blowing it out. That's why you're not saved. You keep shaking it off. Shake off the fear. Shake off the belief. It's no big deal. I'll make it again. I'll be here Wednesday. I'll be here Sunday. I hope to God that feeling that came over me today was not something true that was going to happen to one of my friends in here. I really do hope that. I hope it was just something that came to my head and that thought will quickly go away. But what if it is a reality? I'm not trying to scare you into salvation. Obviously, it don't work. You've been under better preachers than this that scared me. But I'm saved. I'm not trying to scare you into it. I'm trying to get you to really think. Think. They fear the devils. Fear God and they tremble because they believe the Bible and what is written about them and where they will spend eternity and it will never change for them. This is not the case for you sitting here tonight. God has given you the opportunity to believe and to fear, to repent and get saved. You know, that's a word that's forgotten, repentance.
Yes.
Could you imagine if we still kept going that way? Where we'd be today? I'm like, you can just tell me, what do you think I'd be today? Dead or in prison. There was no other choice. Point blank, done. My pastor looked at my wife dead in her eyes and told her, you need to go to work because your husband would be dead in 10 years. Am I lying? That one he was talking about did die. He, Jesus Christ raised up the new man called dead.
Amen.
How about that? She used to pray that God would kill me. She used to pray that God would kill me at night because she couldn't stand it anymore. Guess what God did? He killed me. Gave her the husband she needed. Gave my children the father they needed. How about that? What a good God he is. Isn't he merciful?
That's good.
He's good to us, man. He's been good to us. Why? Because we believed.
Amen.
We understood that condemnation and we didn't want it anymore. God has given you the opportunity to believe and fear, to repent and get saved. But you know what? You've learned how to shake it off. Has the Word of God lost its power? The Word of God has not lost its power, but the hearts of the man have been hardened to it. Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." How about when I tell you about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? How well does that stir you up? Because that's what He did for you.
That's right.
How well does it stir in your heart knowing what Jesus Christ did for you? A condemned person, He took your place, He took that condemnation, and here you are sitting here taking it lightly. How about that, Tim? How does that feel knowing that Jesus Christ was crucified for you? That beard was plucked off His face, a crown of thorns kicked through His head, and He was nailed to that cross for you, and you sit here tonight okay with it? How about it, Christian? When's the last time you thought about what Jesus Christ did for you? We have a tendency to lose that.
Yes.
How about it? When's the last time you looked at the cross and understood what He really went through? You want to know what He went through? Start going to study the book of Leviticus. And look at those offerings and sacrifices. And then know that your Jesus Christ, your Savior, had to go through that.
Right.
For who?
You.
I bet you this. For any of you who are a child and your parent is here, if your parent was to die for you, you'd cry your head off. You'd be weeping in absolute complete sorrow. But the man who can save your soul from hell, you barely shed a tear. You harden your heart to the things of God. You harden your heart to the Word of God. You harden your heart to anything that God can show. To the condemnation. Man, hey brother, they've hardened their heart against the condemnation of God. What a dangerous place that is. What a dangerous place that is to walk that line of shaking off God's condemnation. The problem is, let me ask you this. Do you really believe it? Be honest with yourself. Do you really believe that you're sitting here tonight condemned if you're alive? Do you really believe that in your heart? Dead man walking. Dead man walking, Brother Tim. And God said, oh no, but it don't have to be. It don't have to be that. But you got to come to Him His way. And look at here. Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What effect does that memory of the crucifixion of the cross have on people today? When the man of God said He's going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, does it stir any longer in any people?
Yeah.
Brother, you know that when you used to get up there and tell people, I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it stirred in the church. But it doesn't even stir the people anymore. They've lost it. Why? They've allowed themselves to become desensitized to what is really going on, to what is written there. Just words on a page. God forbid if that's what you see this Bible as, words on a page. Romans 2, 4 through 9 says, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What do you mean? What do you mean the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Because you're still breathing right now. You haven't dropped in hell this very second.
Yes, amen.
God has granted you permission to sit in this church service tonight. What a good and merciful God for allowing you to be here tonight.
Yes.
What's your shield? What's stopping you from really seeing what God wants to show you? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness and His forbearance and His long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance, but after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. Do you understand that today, every day that you walk, every minute that you walk and you're unsaved, all you're doing is stirring up wrath against wrath? That wrath is going to come down upon you, and there's nothing that you're going to do about it. And God is trying to grant you that repentance today, and you will not look at it. You will not see it. You will not get to it. But I'm telling you now, you're storing up wrath upon wrath. You ever see a wrathful person? You look at them and go, oh my goodness. Well, guess what? You're going to face God in that wrath. He's got to put that judgment on you. He's a righteous and holy God. He's a judgment God. He made those laws for a purpose, and that's to find you guilty. And pass that condemnation on you. I wish, Tanya, that I would have had somebody be able to take those 5 years from me. You don't think I want to walk home? How about if I said, hey, you can take me 5 years from me, I'm going home. How about this, Sam? Jesus Christ said, I'll take your hell for you. I'll take your hell for you. I'll take that beating. I'll take the ripping of the beard. I'll take the cat of nine tails across my back. I'll take all of, hey, you know, the worst suffering that Jesus Christ, the worst suffering, I'm telling you, wasn't the nailing of his hands and feet to that cross. That wasn't the worst. The worst is he got separated from his Father. Why hast thou forsaken me? Because God looked down and he seen Dale Moore, and he couldn't look on that sin, and he turned his face, and Jesus Christ never understood that before. What's, for who? For us. Imagine that. Lord, if you will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine will, but thine being done. I'm going to be done here in a second. Look at this. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Does that put fear in you? Does that put fear in you that one day you're going to continue to harden and stiffen your neck against the things of God, and there's going to be a wrath that comes, and guess what? There's going to be no remedy for it. It's over with. It's done. Go read that in Romans 1:18-31. You keep hardening your neck. Keep thinking. You keep telling yourself. You keep allowing your heart to deceive you that you're okay. That I can harden my neck one more time. And I'm telling you, the day's going to come where that remedy is going to blow that can out. You know what else it says in Revelation 19? That no longer will you hear the bride inside of you. No longer will you hear that voice. As a saved person, could you imagine God stopping and talking to you? That's an awful thing, isn't it? Once you get the taste of that, brother, it's a wonderful thing. I long for that constantly because, you know what? I hate when God stops talking to me because I feel lonely down here now. I need him in my life. I need him telling me. I need him talking to me. I need to be feel like I'm close to him. I want that prayer line to be wide open. I want him and me to have that relationship because he says, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. I want to be nigh unto him. I don't want to be close to God. Many Christians live close to God, but they don't want to draw nigh unto him. Man, I tell you what, if God as a lost person stops talking to you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble, my friend. I'm going to close with this. Does the fear of God, his judgment, his condemnation have an effect on you tonight? Is it driving you to the foot of the cross tonight? Or are you as that fool in Psalm 53:1-2, where it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. And there's none that understands in this room tonight. As a lost person under condemnation, it's proof that you are not seeking God. Because you're too comfortable in it. What effect has the word of God on you tonight? My Bible says this, and I'm done. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that trust? No, to believe. To save them that believe. Then it says this, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, if you believe the word of God, it demands an action, and that action is repentance unto salvation. But let me just say this. What worldly sorrow are you clinging on to for conviction? Worldly conviction and godly conviction are two different things, and Paul makes that very clear in the Bible. Stop looking at the worldly conviction as conviction for salvation. It is not. It's going to take godly sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Do you understand? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Not those things that were done to you. And my friends, you've had some hard things done to you. I get it. I understand that. But God is not worried about that. You know why? Because he can take care of that. And I'm living proof that he will take care of that. But my friends, you have to let go of that worldly sorrow. Because it's not the worldly sorrow that's going to bring you to repentance. It's the godly sorrow that's going to bring you repentance unto salvation. Not to be repented of. Is that understood? Get to the godly sorrow and allow him to show you what it's going to take. I'm done.
Amen. Amen.